Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines, and today we're diving into three of the biggest tech companies in the world, and that is Microsoft, Amazon, and Apple, to see what to expect from their upcoming quarterly earnings results, to help investors decide if maybe they should consider buying some shares before these big tech powers report their earnings later this week. But before we get into everything, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. All right, so we're going to start with just a quick kind of market overview before we dive right into Microsoft. So stocks climbed on Friday and then again through morning trading on Monday. So the S&P 500 is now up roughly 25% since its March 23 lows. And this positivity, as most of you probably know, comes on the back of hope that social distancing and stay-at-home orders have helped slow the spread of the coronavirus. And obviously the Fed and the U.S. government's intervention into the economy. And meanwhile, governments around the world are starting to figure out how they can slowly start to reopen parts of their economies. And this push might become even louder as the full impact of the stop to lot of work and production really becomes more well known over the next several weeks. For instance, roughly 26 million Americans have filed for unemployment benefits since mid-March. And then on the earnings front, this is as of April 24th. We're expecting, this is our Zacks estimates, are calling for overall S&P 500 earnings to fall 15% in Q1. And this is down from what we were projecting was a positive 4% growth back in January. And then things are expected to get even worse in Q2, with overall S&P 500 earnings expected to decline about 31.5%. So we're calling for 15% in Q1 and then another nearly 32% in Q2 with that full impact felt. And then earnings are expected to fall again in Q3. And we're most people now are hoping that those earnings declines are pretty much isolated to Q1, Q2, Q3, and then maybe we start to see a turnaround. But at this point, it's kind of hard to know amid all of the uncertainty. And with that said, energy, transportation, autos, consumer discretionary, and some other sectors that might seem pretty obvious are expected to take the hardest hits. And actually, tech sector S&P 500 earnings are only expected to slip about 0.7% in the first quarter. So on that note, we're going to dive into Microsoft and then go from there to see what to expect this week from these three big tech giants. So Microsoft stock is up roughly 11% in 2020, and this is against the S&P 500. It's about 13% downturn. And Microsoft stock really at this point appears about as safe as any tech company at the moment, given its broad portfolio that now heavily features cloud computing alongside software and solutions that are geared towards businesses. Microsoft has become a cloud leader, and many of its offerings really are shining during this current work from home environment. So its cloud computing competes against Microsoft, while its subscription-based Office 365 suite of software is essential for many companies, big and small, students, governments, you name it. Meanwhile, the coronavirus has also brought Skype to the forefront, which Microsoft owns, and then as well as its work-focused communication platform Teams, which competes against Zoom and Slack. They also own LinkedIn. So big work from home slash cloud computing space. It's really been somewhat immune to this broader coronavirus downturn. And with that said, Microsoft did warn in late February that it was likely to miss its quarterly sales guidance for its personal computing segment. Luckily, at the time, it also said that its guidance for its current quarter, or Q3 fiscal 2020, remained unchanged, which is a great sign since its productivity in business processes. Revenue jumped 17% last quarter, and its intelligent cloud sales were up 27%. And at that time, it's a personal computing segment, which is what they're expecting to miss on, climbed just 2%. So its cloud segment's really been that growth driver. So it's good to see that they're not expecting that segment to take much of a hit. And along with that, the company is obviously still a dividend payer. Its dividend yield rests at about 1.2% at the moment, which is nothing amazing, but obviously the stock price hasn't fallen to help artificially inflate its dividend yield like a lot of the market. And it's also currently trading at a bit of a discount compared to its industry. And then amid all of this uncertainty, Microsoft's cash portfolio is pretty massive. It has about $134 billion in cash, and it might continue to buy back stock. It announced a new $40 billion buyback program last fall, so it could see that perhaps continue. And it's they haven't announced anything about if that's going to stop based on all of the current uncertainty. So with that said, we're going to take a look at what to expect. So we're calling, or our Zacks estimates are calling for its Q3 fiscal 2020 revenue to climb about 10.7%. And this would compare relatively well against last quarter's about 13.7% sales growth. Obviously, a bit of a slowdown. But if we look ahead, their current full year revenue is projected to climb about 11.6% this year, and then another 11% in fiscal 2021. This would come on top of back-to-back years of 14% expansion and easily beat out 2017's 6% growth. So we're calling for the continuation of really impressive top-line growth for a company of its size and age. And then on the bottom line, we're calling for its adjusted Q3 earnings to climb about 11.4%. And then its full-year earnings are still expected to climb 17% this year, and then another over 11% in 2021. So once again, solid bottom-line growth for Microsoft there as well. So if we look, as I mentioned, their shares are up about 30% since their March 23 lows, to push it up around 10% in 2020. And despite this climb, they're still sitting below their 52-week high, so there could be more room to run. But obviously, anyone who's really considering buying Microsoft would to play into earnings. It's always a little bit of a risk if you're playing it just for earnings, but a longer-term bet, it seems like Microsoft is a solid bet. And in the next 12 months, no matter what price, even if it falls back down amid maybe worse than expected earnings or worse than expected guidance, that you could be getting it at what will look to be a discount in 6 to 12 months from now. So any longer term investor, Microsoft really seems like a solid tech play at the moment. And we should note that they're expected to report, or they're scheduled to report their results after the closing bell on Wednesday, April 29th. So as I mentioned again, Microsoft, out of all three of these companies, is definitely a solid bet, and we're going to jump into another one that I would say is a solid coronavirus economy bet, and that is Amazon. So we're going to take a look at what's going on with Amazon, and we'll close with Apple. So shares of Amazon are up about 42% since mid-March, and this is as investors clamor for any stocks that they seem to be able to stay above the coronavirus economic downturn. And with a business that's based pretty much solely on e-commerce and cloud computing, the Seattle powerhouse does seem pretty much tailor-made for outperforming during the current economic conditions. So with this in mind, we're going to dive into what to expect in sort of a broader overview of Amazon, with the company expected to report its quarterly results after the market closes on Thursday, April 30th, so one day after Microsoft. And like with all three of these companies, you don't need to dive too much in, because most of what they do is pretty well known even to people who aren't trading stocks and investing. But we're going to dive in Amazon anyway. So despite signs that all these social distancing and stay-at-home measures are working and the governments are starting to figure out how to start reopening parts of the economy, it seems pretty sure that Amazon's e-commerce delivery business is going to continue to grow. It's grown throughout this time before the coronavirus happened, and people aren't just going to instantly rush back to stores when they can continue to order on Amazon, no matter what. And if we consider how much their demand has grown, back in March, they said they would try to hire an additional 100,000 employees in the U.S. to deal with this increased demand. And this comes as millions of Americans are filing for unemployment. And Amazon's ability, and I think this is a pretty big point, Amazon's ability to effectively meet this heightened demand during the coronavirus might help it separate itself from its retail rivals, such as Walmart and Target, and some others who have, over the last several years, ramped up their own e-commerce and delivery options to help fight back against Amazon. So this time could be really important for all three of those big companies to see who's able to deliver the most effectively amid all of this staying at home and ordering packages and all of that to people's homes and apartments. And just for instance, we should note that its core e-commerce business, which includes online store sales and third-party sellers services, accounted for about 72% of Q4 2019 revenue. And then they also have a Prime-heavy subscription business and its AWS cloud computing business. So that's where a bulk of their sales are coming from. And all of those are going to be able to do just as well, if not maybe better, certainly for the e-commerce side during the coronavirus. And their fastest growing segment in Q4 was actually their digital heavy advertising heavy other segment. This division was up 41% last quarter. And then along with that subscription business from Prime, they also compete alongside Netflix and Disney and Apple and others in the streaming TV market. So pretty much all of its businesses can function during this coronavirus economic downturn, which is a great sign for investors. And we can already see that people have jumped into Amazon stock over the last month based on those simple facts. So if we look ahead, its Q1 fiscal 2020 revenue is projected to climb about 23%. This would top its Q4 expansion. And then if we look ahead, its full year sales are expected to climb 20% in fiscal 2020. And then if we look ahead to the next year, we're calling for about 18% to climb that next year, which would compare favorably to what they did in 2019, was about 20% expansion. So we're calling for a continuation of 20% expansion from last year to this year, and then 18% in the next year. And sometimes I think those percentages don't do it justice. So if we look ahead from what we're projecting in 2020 to 2021, Amazon is expected to add $60 billion in revenue from fiscal 2020 to fiscal 2021, which, to put in reference, Facebook made $70 billion total in all of 2018. So they're expected to add $60 billion in just 1 year in new revenue. And then at the bottom end of the income statement, Amazon's Q1 earnings are expected to slip. We should note that to $6.35 per share. It is worth noting, though, that they have spent heavily over the last year to reduce their Prime shipping down from 2 days to 1 day, which hopefully will pay off in the long run. And obviously, its costs are on the rise as they're hiring more employees in dealing with this higher volume amid all of this. So I wouldn't be too concerned about their earnings slipping a little bit. And then if we look ahead, their full year earnings are still expected to climb about 22%, and then another 45% in 2021. And as we mentioned, the company really does seem tailor-made for the coronavirus economy. They're expected to report their results on Thursday. And obviously people might want to wait to see what their guidance is and how the report actually shakes out during this week, because you never know. The stocks have climbed so much in the last several weeks, and 25% from their March 23 lows, that there could certainly be a pullback. But like with Microsoft, it seems hard to believe that in a year from now, that if you decided to scoop up some Amazon shares, they wouldn't look like you bought them at a discount today in a year down the road. And obviously, it seems like it's going to be a safe haven as well. And now we're going to close with Apple, which actually might be not as safe at the moment as some might think, just because its business is a little less able to thrive and flourish amid this economic downturn. So Apple was actually, which now seems like it was forever ago at this point, back on February 17th, they were one of the first companies to flash some early warning signs to Wall Street about how the coronavirus might impact their top line. And this was based on their exposure to China, mostly at the moment. And since then, obviously, things have gotten way worse around the world and certainly here in the United States. So they've been forced to close their stores along with Nike and hundreds of other retailers as well. So now we're going to go ahead and take a look at what to expect. So, well, as I mentioned, they're starting to regain some sense of normalcy in China, in that Chinese market, which is key. It's their second largest market. But in the U.S., it's still going to be kind of up in the air. And I know in Illinois, we're now staying at home all the way through the end of May. So it seems hard to believe that Apple stores will be opening up anytime soon in the United States. And obviously, you can still order on the e-commerce front. But it is worth noting that on Monday, so this morning, the Wall Street Journal reported that Apple is, quote, pushing back the production ramp up of its flagship iPhones coming later this year by about a month. And this is according to people familiar with the changes as the coronavirus pandemic weakens global consumer demand and disrupts manufacturing across Asia, the heart of the consumer electronics supply chain. So that was from a Wall Street Journal report this morning that they're pushing their new iPhone production ramp up by at least a month. So who knows if that changes, but it's certainly a fluid situation, which does make Apple kind of more prone to this broader coronavirus economic uncertainty and downturn. And obviously they're selling higher end consumer electronics, which some people might not want to buy just amid this broader economic uncertainty. Even if you still have your job and things have not really changed that much from you, you're just staying at home, you might not be going to splurge on a new iPhone or a new Mac. But with that said, the company has tried to expand its non-iPhone business for years. This includes its services unit, which features its App Store, Apple Music, Apple TV Plus, which is new from this fall, which competes against Netflix and all the other streaming TV services. But with that said, it's still at its core an iPhone and consumer electronics company. And our current estimates are calling for its sales to slip about 8% this quarter, and then another 7% next quarter, and then about a 1% on the year. So that's down big from what we were calling for before all of this happened, which was positive growth this quarter, next quarter, and for the full year. And then on the bottom line, we're calling for about 15% decline in adjusted earnings in what is Apple's second quarter of fiscal 2020, and then another 11% decline in the coming quarter as well. So we're calling for a downturn on both the top and bottom lines for Apple, which is the only one of these three companies we're calling for an actual downturn in terms of its revenue for this quarter and next. And then along with that, its overall consensus earnings estimates have really plummeted over the last 90 days. And as we mentioned, the company is scheduled to report its quarterly results for the second quarter of fiscal 2020. And this is after the closing bell on Thursday, April 30th. And Apple stock does rest about 14% off its highs. So it could have room to run if it is able to impress, if it is able to provide some better guidance. But it's kind of hard to know at this point. So for all of these stocks, if you're really considering it and you're worried about a near-term pullback, maybe just wait to see how Wall Street reacts to these slew of reports, including these big tech players throughout the week. But obviously, any longer-term investors, all of these prices might seem like solid discounts in 6 months or a year from now. And I want to just quickly close with where these stock prices have been in 2020 and over the last year. So Amazon stock is now up about 30% in 2020. Microsoft stock is up about 11% in 2020, and Apple is down about 4%. And this all compares to about a 12% decline for the broader S&P 500. So Amazon is far and away the best performer of these three big tech giants this year. It's now trading right near new highs after breaking out in late March, in mid-March, and Apple's now down about 4% on the year. And then if we look over, though, the last 12 months, Apple is actually the best performer still at this point, up about 38%. Microsoft's next, and Amazon is the worst performer out of these three. So these fortunes could then change going forward, where Amazon starts to outperform Apple over maybe, say, the next 6 to 12 months as its ability to grow amid all of this broader economic uncertainty. But it's going to be a big week with Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, and a bunch of other big tech names all set to report. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen with these big companies amid all of the economic uncertainty. And we'll, if the big question will be, are we going to see a pullback maybe closer to those March 23 lows? Who knows if we get there again, but it certainly is going to be fun to watch all of this from Microsoft, Apple, and Amazon. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. Remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.